The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, how does God feel about states threatening to leave the Union? Well, of course, what comes to our mind is the Civil War, the Confederate States of America that left the Union due to the issue of slavery. But folks, that's an issue from 100 years ago. There are different reasons, better reasons, that some states are seriously considering leaving the Union. Here to discuss this and other provocative issues with me is good friend and rotating co-host Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. You know, here I am in the state of Texas, where before the election, Texans were saying, we're going to secede because we don't like Hillary. And then the election went a different direction than most people figured. And Californians now saying, we're going to secede because we don't like Trump.
Yeah, well, California, I've got news for my fellow Californians. They are not going to succeed because the Democratic Party would never elect another president without California. They need all those illegal votes in California.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably the best point that I've heard about that, and it makes an awful lot of sense. And that's your problem, Bob. You keep making sense.
So. The idea of California becoming a sanctuary state, though, unfortunately, I think that is far more feasible.
Well, and all I can do is pray for you guys out there. I just don't, it's that the old thing about the lunatics are running the asylum. I don't know.
Well, Jim, in anticipation of you being on, and I know you had said you wanted to compare California with Texas. Yeah. I have something that I think you'll enjoy. If you haven't seen it already, it's been buzzing around over the internet, but if you haven't, I'm sure our audience will enjoy it. It's called Why California is Broken, Texas is Not.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of California is jogging with his dog along a nature trail. A coyote jumps out and attacks the governor's dog, then bites the governor. The governor starts to intervene, but reflects upon the movie Bambi, and then realizes he should stop because the coyote is only doing what is natural. He calls animal control. Animal control captures the coyote and bills the state $200 for testing it for diseases and $500 for relocating it. He calls a veterinarian. The vet collects the dead dog and bills the state $200 testing it for diseases. The governor goes to the hospital and spends $3,500 getting checked for diseases from the coyote and on getting his bite wound bandaged. The running trail gets shut down for 6 months while Fish and Game conducts a $100,000 survey to make sure the area is now free of dangerous animals. The government spends $50,000 in state funds implementing a coyote awareness program for residents of the area. The state legislature spends $2 million to study how to better treat rabies and how to permanently eradicate the disease throughout the world. The governor's security agent is fired for not stopping the attack. The state spends $150,000 to hire and train a new agent with additional special training regarding the nature of the coyotes. PETA protests the coyotes' relocation and files a $5 million suit against the state. That's what happened when the governor of California was out jogging. Now, here's another version. The governor of Texas is jogging with his dog along a nature trail. A coyote jumps out and attacks his dog. The governor shoots the coyote with his state-issued pistol and keeps jogging. The governor has spent 75 cents on a 45 ACP hollow point cartridge. The buzzards eat the dead coyote. And that, my friends, is why California is broke and Texas is not.
And that really says it. I've seen that, and it's hilarious, but it's frighteningly too close to the truth. And here's a few thoughts I have. I have my little opening rant, and that story is a great one. This is what I have to say concerning the difference between the two states right up front. California has Hollywood and Disneyland. It's the epicenter of non-reality. Texas is the shiny star-shaped buckle on the Bible Belt. In California, you have Berkeley, home of free speech.
Oh, yeah, the home of free speech, Berkeley.
Yeah. Texas, we have the Alamo, which is a shrine to freedom fighters. California has beaches, mountains, trees, real Mexican food, and nice weather, and some smog. Texas, as Red Skelton once said, has miles and miles of nothing but miles and miles. Not such great weather, but we do have barbecue, and at the Texas State Fair in 1938, they introduced the corn dog. And from that time until now, they have a competition every year on what foods you could possibly deep fry. Some of the stranger ones are deep fried bubblegum, deep fried stick of butter, deep fried Jell-O, and deep fried avocado.
Did you actually say deep fried bubblegum?
Yeah, deep fried bubblegum.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a big deal up there. They deep fry everything. But that's, Texas is always among the fattest states in the Union.
Well, we visited Texas about a month ago. The food was sensational. My son and daughter-in-law took us out to Texas barbecue right away. That was the first thing we did.
There's some great barbecue places. I'll give them that. But we don't have real Mexican food here.
I would give up real Mexican food to have one or two sane people in Sacramento.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to get to that later. California, Delta smelt are more important than irrigating the crops that feed the country.
Oh, yeah. My heart just breaks when I hear Nancy Pelosi go on and on about the Delta smelt.
And if I'm not mistaken, your governor, Governor Moonbeam, recently passed a bill authorizing the state to regulate bovine flatulence.
I hadn't heard that one, but nothing they do will surprise me.
I've read it in several sources because it's his opinion that it's the cows that are responsible for global warming.
Yeah.
Not the millions of cars on your freeways producing smog.
I've heard that for years, that we should eat less meat because it contributes to global warming.
Blame it on it's the vegetarians. It's the vegetarians. They're not eating enough cows, you see.
Yeah.
And so it's their fault. Just a couple more here, and then we can get serious. Texas, on the other hand, has oil. We drill for oil on the ground, offshore. They were fracking for a while. Up in East Texas, where I once lived, you could see people have those pumps right in their front yard, right on the property. You know, those things look like big iron locusts sucking the life out of the earth. California, pot is legal, but tobacco is not. In Texas, they do have a rule that I think is an important rule, and that is you cannot carry a loaded gun into a bar. So that's a little bit about the pop culture climate and just the images, the stereotypes of what
states are like. Well, Texas was far prettier than I was expecting. Still, if I had to evaluate a state based on topography, California would win hands down. But if I had to evaluate based on policy and what's going on in our economy, and, Jim, I think the day's going to come in California where they're going to start forcing people to move out of their own homes to make room for illegal immigrants, which we're not going to be allowed to call illegal immigrants. I really believe it will get that bad.
They're undocumented, Bob.
Undocumented workers, yeah.
Okay, you've got to get the lingo, man. I know you're not one for political correctness, but you just got to
keep that lingo is so important.
Here's a couple of stories. A friend of mine from California came out here, and he visited a rancher, and he said to the rancher, "How big is your ranch?" And the guy said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I can get in my truck in the morning and start driving, and I don't get to my property line before the sun sets." And the Californian said, "Yeah, I had a truck that ran like that once, too." So,
Wow.
Now, here's a true story. Leslie and I were, the first time I went to Great Britain, we were in the U.K., and we're traveling around the country, and outside of Oxford, we had booked a room at this little bed and breakfast, and someone gave us a wrong direction, and we were lost, and so we pulled into a pub, and I went and I said, "Hey, we're looking for this place. It's the Bat and Ball Pub." And the lady says, oh, that's a long way. It's far away." I said, "Well, how far?" She said, oh, it's 5 miles. And I said, 5 miles? We have driveways that are 5 miles in Texas.
Yeah, no kidding.
So some of those things are relative. And I do. I tell people all the time, California is the most beautiful state in the Union, and I've been all over the country. You've got mountains and trees and beaches, and it's just a lovely, lovely state, which is part of the problem. People move there for that and for the nice weather. And so there's too much, you pay a high price to have that kind of an environment. And I think that's where part of the problem is as far as cost of living and stuff.
Yeah.
I want to get into that whenever we have a chance.
And there's just no consistency from our politicians. Right now, when the federal government threatens to hold up funds, we're told that that's unconstitutional. We're given lectures about state rights. What about state rights when they passed Proposition 8, claiming that marriage was to be defined between a man and a woman? Then the federal government interfered, and that was perfectly okay. So isn't it interesting how terms like states' rights just become convenient phrases, too?
Yeah, and you know, by the way, in Texas, we're a 180 on that one. The leadership in Texas is very much against same-sex marriage, and there are just so many political differences in those things, and we can itemize those. I have a sheet full of notes here tonight, and as much of this as we can cover, we will. So there are trade-offs. Texas is not a great environment to live in. Once you know, I grew up in San Diego. I'm a third-generation San Diego native, and so my first summer living here in Texas, I thought that I had died and gone to the wrong place, and I thought, well, maybe there is a purgatory.
Yeah. I felt that way when I moved to Arizona for the first time, and then my second year of Arizona, I found myself getting used to it and actually appreciating it, but it was quite a culture shock when I moved out of California for the first time.
It is a shock. If you've lived, as I had, if you were born and raised in San Diego,
you miss that ocean and beach.
There's no place you can go where you're ever really going to be happy with the weather.
And now I know the Gulf is pretty out in Texas, but then you have the hurricanes and the humidity and all that stuff.
Well, there you go. And in Texas, we have hurricanes, we have tornadoes. And California has earthquakes and wildfires. So we'll call that a draw.
Well, no, we also have Nancy Pelosi, so I don't know if it counts as a draw. All right.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Now, we haven't played trivia for a long time, but I'm just going to guess, going to the break, we heard Akerbilk doing Strangers on the Shore.
That is correct.
And coming back with Take Five by the great Dave Brubeck.
Dave Brubeck, yes. Well, Nick and I were betting that gravity would not exist anymore if you didn't get those two. We have a few other choice ones for you coming up later.
Classic stuff. And, you know, I'm pretty much a rock and roll guy. But
yes.
I grew up with that stuff. And anyway, great.
We'll have a few melodic motion picture soundtracks that will probably be a little more difficult for you. But there's definitely a few more that you're going to get for sure.
Yeah, you're big on the movie stuff. You're not only a movie buff, but you love the soundtracks too.
I do.
You've always got the upper hand on those. Now, we're talking about your state and my state. I'm going to say it that way tonight. I am a San Diego native and a Californian at heart, and I always have this place. In fact, we go out at least once a year and visit, and I go in that Pacific Ocean no matter how cold it is, and I will eat Mexican food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner if I get the chance. But I live in Texas now, and so I'm representing tonight. So the environment, as far as catastrophes and disasters, I say it's a toss-up because you guys get earthquakes and fires. We get tornadoes and hurricanes. Here's a couple of other things that I was surprised. I did a lot of research, Bob. Unemployment in California right now, or the latest stat that I got, was 5.2. Texas is 4.8, so that's almost a draw.
Now, why do you suppose that would be? I would expect it to be much worse in California.
If we had done this a couple of years ago, a lot of these things would be different. But people have been pouring into this state to get away from other states. And so... So
they're boosting the economy by pouring in?
Well, they are, but it also fills the job market and it also drives housing costs up, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But so that's almost an even right there on unemployment. Here's another one. This is something to be really proud of. Education, K through 12, California ranks 42nd in the nation. Texas ranks 41st. I'm a little surprised at that.
That is a surprise.
Texas is, W had this No Child Left Behind thing.
Oh, that's true. That was his brainchild, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. And the education system here, well, 41 out of 50. That's not great. So those things are a draw. There's another thing that was a surprising draw to me, and that was the amount of money that the average person spends on gasoline. Because your gas tax is higher than ours, therefore gas is more per gallon. But the difference is everybody in Texas drives a truck.
That's true.
So instead of 24 miles to the gallon, we only get 15 miles to the gallon. So gas gasoline almost comes out of wash between the two states. But then when we get past all of those things where we kind of are equal, we're going to find some stark differences. And so if you don't mind, I want to go through some numbers with
sure.
you here. For the people that don't like number crunchers, I'm so sorry, but there is a bottom line and you'll get the point. The cost of living in California, average cost of living, is 15% above the national average. In Texas, it's 11% below the national average. That's a pretty big gap. The average household income in California is $64,000. In Texas, it's $56,000. So you've got an $8,000 advantage on the average household income. But where does that money go? The average price of a single-family dwelling unit in California is $448,000. In Texas, it's $146,000. And just a few years ago, that would have even been a lower number. Even renting is a little more than $1,000 a month difference. It costs over $1,000 a month more for a renter in California than it does in Texas. And so if we extrapolate those things and do the average mortgage payment, it costs the average homeowner $15,000 a year more between homeowners and renters to live in California than to live in Texas. $15,000 a year just for your dwelling place.
And I imagine that's only going to get worse as time goes on.
Probably so. Probably so. But that just ate up your $8,000 income. So now you're in a $7,000 deficit. We have sales tax is about $1,000 a month, a year, I'm sorry, on an average more for someone in California.
And you have no state income tax at all in Texas, do you?
Oh, yeah, and that averages out to nearly $5,000, a little more than $5,000 a year that Californians pay for state income
Can
tax.
Can you just imagine the difference between somebody trying to start their own company in Texas as opposed to California with an advantage like that?
That's why they're bailing out. So you've got a housing difference of $15,000. State income tax of $5,000, sales tax of $1,000, then also property tax on average is $1,000 a year more in California because the houses cost more. And that's the base tax. That's not adding your school zones and all of those things, which can make it even worse. So what you've got is $14,000 net. You guys make $8,000 more a year, but you spend $22,000 more a year. And we're just talking about basic things, housing and taxes. And as I said, gasoline costs are a wash because you probably all drive electric cars and stuff out there. So
not me, not yet.
that stuff is just so blown out of proportion. I'm sure you have done a little research and look at the places where they do the strip mining, where they produce the lithium batteries, and they're raping the planet.
Okay, Californians, we'll give you more reasons to leave the state and flee to Texas when we return.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. houses burned down.
You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
The internet site About Read was founded on the premise that a good book can change a person's life. This valuable resource offers guidance to those who wish to visit their local libraries. And now, About Read lists Bob Siegel's children's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, under the category of Top 30 Best Action and Adventure Books for 11-year-olds.
Did you say 11-year-olds? But the kid in my book is 12 years old.
Bob, it's an honor just to be on the list. Be grateful.
All right, all right.
The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
My friend Jim Barrier grew up in San Diego and now talks about the virtues of Texas. Welcome back to our program.
Thanks. And I'm still chewing on the music there. When we left for the break, the tune it was playing, I kept thinking it was from a Julie Andrews film. But then I thought, it sounds like the song Tammy from the film Tammy.
You got it. Oh, my goodness. I was going to say you're close with Julie Andrews because it was Debbie Reynolds, but Tammy and the Bachelor. There were a whole series of them. I think Tammy and the Bachelor was the first. And not the best movies in the world, but beautiful musical score.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy that the gray matter kicked into gear there on that one. That was tough.
See, a little of that California Hollywood stayed with you, Jim. Now, what about the incoming music? I'll give you a clue. That one is as contemporary as you can possibly get. We're not dating ourselves. That one is from the year 2016.
Oh, well there. See, I'm in trouble right there because I haven't watched any movies from 2016.
Well, I guarantee you've heard of this one. That was the soundtrack to La La Land.
Oh, let's see, that's in our Netflix queue.
On the show, of course, where we're talking about California and La La Land.
Yes, exactly. It's a great name for it. We're waiting to get that. It's our next film from Netflix. I don't go to the movies anymore. I wait until it's on Netflix. Then if I don't like it, I just send it back.
Do you like musicals as a general rule? I know you know music, but how about the art form, the musical?
Well, let's see. Are we talking A Hard Day's Night and Help? Or
well, more like Rodgers and Hammerstein, Lerner and Lowe, those kinds of musicals.
You know what? And you know, there was also Rodgers and Hart. He had a different partner.
Yes, yes. Showboat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, see, I'm showing that I do. Here's the thing. My mother loved that stuff. And, you know, my mom passed away last November, and her passion, her love was the musical. So, consequently, I grew up listening to that stuff, whether I liked it or not, because she was playing it all the time. So I know the words to the songs from South Pacific and Flower Drum Song and all of that stuff. But it does, you know, it's there. And you know, they say what has been seen can't be unseen, and sometimes what has been heard can't be unheard. So I am familiar with a lot of that stuff.
Well, La La Land did a good job. It was like imagine an old an old 1950s MGM musical, but then set in modern contemporary times. And it was about a guy that loved jazz and was trying to bring jazz back, and a woman that wanted to be an actress, and kind of the mutual exchange they have. But it was really well done. It actually deserved to win Best Picture of the Year. I know everybody knows the story about how they were in the middle of their third acceptance speech when they were pulled off the stage to hear that the wrong movie had been read.
But the truth is,
it won six Academy Awards anyway, legitimately, including Best Director, Best Actress, Best Score. I think in reality, you know, the movie had 14 nominations. That is tied with Titanic for the most nominations of all time. I find it hard to believe that the Academy didn't truly think it was the best movie, but they were under so much pressure to be politically correct. I think they were saying, here's a movie that stars an African-American who's gay. We've got to at least vote for that one for Best Picture. And then in all the other categories, we'll vote for La La La. That, you know, I can never prove that, but it looks to me like that's what happened. So I think they were rooked out of that award, both on stage and off stage.
You know, frankly, that's why I don't pay attention to the Oscars anymore. I think the one that did it for me was several years back. Russell Crowe did a great film, A Beautiful Mind, and it won all the things, but he did not win actor. Well, the whole thing was his acting job
exactly.
And how he sold that character, and it won all the other categories, but then they, you know, I love Denzel, but frankly, I thought he was much better in Hurricane than he was in Training Day.
Yeah. Well, now there's going to be, they have said there's going to be a type of affirmative action. So there's going to be a minimum of nominations from different. It's just, you know, nothing is sacred anymore. I'm so sick and tired of all the political correctness. I really am.
And then on top of it, you get certain actresses and actors that get up and give speeches and rant and rave, and I'm just tired of all of that stuff. So
can't they just get up and say thank you for the honor and sit down?
I mean, they could, but anyway, we digress. But I love talking about that stuff, and I will see La La Land. I've heard a lot of good about it. So
I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, if you don't, anyone that doesn't like musicals won't like it. But as musicals go, I thought they did a pretty decent job, especially when you consider that the movie musical for a while became all but extinct in Hollywood. It's nice to see them making a comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for the record, my favorite film, mine personally, was Hacksaw Ridge.
I did not see. That was one of the nominees I didn't get a chance to see. I've heard nothing but good things about it, though.
Well,
that was
the
Mel Gibson film, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, Mel, for all of his goofiness, he's put out some pretty good films over
the years. He does. He just needs to keep his mouth shut when the police pull him over.
But, you know, because we've talked about the issues of conscious subjection, and I loved that movie because I felt a little validated from friends of mine who had said, because I was a conscious objector, and they said, well, you're just a coward. And obviously this film does away with that myth.
I can't imagine anybody that would know you, and you are not a coward, my friend. I don't agree with your pacifist position, but you are no coward at all.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
I'll be back with my brave friend Jim Barrier in just a moment.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier.
I know that song.
We were sure you would get this one.
Well, you know, I lost it. It's not grazing in the grass.
It's not
grazing in the grass, but it's got that same kind of vibe.
Okay, Nick, put him out of his misery. Oh, Nick's saying to hold on.
Can't hear Nick. Push the button, Nick.
It's Soulful Strut by the Young Holt Unlimited.
Yes, thank you so much.
We weren't surprised that you got the others, but we were absolutely sure you would get this one.
Well,
Nick, I'm glad we didn't go to Vegas and place a bet on that. I was never more sure in my life.
Oh, man. Now, we got to get back to the classic rock and roll. That's really my strength. But
well, that's pretty, that's the 1960s, late 1960s. That's pretty classic.
Yeah, not rock and roll.
Well, it's late 60s rock and roll, yeah.
Okay. Now, you guys, I love playing that game. All right. We don't want to go back and talk about California and Texas again.
I think we leapfrogged. Oh, we need to leapfrog back a break. I don't think we even got back to the last time.
No, I like talking about movies and music and stuff, and it does have some social relevance. I don't now, does art imitate life, or does life imitate art? And that age-old question. And I think the things that are tolerable today certainly were not tolerable a generation ago, as far as what, you know, the lyrics you can use on music, the themes, the visual things that happen in films and even on TV. We have gone a long, long way as to what's acceptable.
Yeah, and as a result, we've gotten far less creative, too. I don't have a problem when somebody swears in a movie because I don't hold all directors up to a Christian standard.
Yeah.
But when it's obligatory and when it's just poorly written dialogue, I think there was a time when, because people could not speak a certain way, it forced them to just be more creative.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, if you put enough violence and sex and stuff in a film, you know, and then put it in the trailers and tease people, that, you know, it is really dipped to an all-time low, I think, as far as what we settle for. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some great films that come out there. And there's also once in a while, some good music. And but I think we've really lost the creative edge. I think you know, some of it has to do with the money thing, frankly. With music, the music industry, you know, Clear Channel controls so much, and then that gets into the pockets of the producers, and they'll only allow certain types of music, certain sounds. In the 60s, you could, you know, go into a record company and you know, that if you look at the hit parade back in the 60s, it could be jazz, Motown, surf music, British invasion, country music, anything goes. And now it's a certain cookie cutter kind of a thing. And so the money thing's killing music. And in the movies, I think it's all about trying to get, you know, get the rating. You know, you're talking about the language. I've read stories about movies where, and actors complaining they had a good film, but if they couldn't bump it up to an R, they wouldn't attract the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and so, somewhere it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yep.
It says that somewhere.
Speaking in one of those sacred of books. Evil,
speaking of the root of all evil, let's go to Sacramento.
I like to think of it as the root of all stupidity, but evil will do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think those two are very, if you want to get theological, I think sin is stupidity because it's stupid to sin against an intelligent, loving God and his principles and disobey him and disregard him. It's not smart at all.
Well, and one feeds and enables the other because a purely evil person cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish without a lot of stupid people following him.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we have a little bit of time left this evening. The political climate between the two states in question here. We talked about seceding from the Union and that whole joke. California, I'm going to give you the names of the leadership in your state. We have, of course, Governor Moonbeam, Jerry Brown. And I'm old enough to remember when his daddy was the governor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What a great legacy.
Oh, man. You got Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. You have the Speaker of the House of Representatives in California, Anthony Rendon. You have the Attorney General, Javier Becerra, all of them Democrats, all of them liberal Democrats, and you get bonus points for giving the rest of us Nancy Pelosi. Thank you so much, California,
and
for your strong leadership.
Every time she opens her mouth,
I am just
amazed. I am imagining our forefathers turning in their graves.
She's getting harder to understand, too.
She's certifiable. I mean, she's absolutely certifiable.
Yeah. Those are the people that are running your asylum.
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you kind of, I mean, we could go down the list of the things that these folks have done and pushed. And I would lay the blame at their feet for the woes of California.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be back for one more segment. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Valduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way,
Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity. And here's another reader's comment. I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
All right, Jim, here's your last shot of the day. What do you think?
Were we talking about mortgage payments earlier in the show? Am I getting warm?
Actually, this was the same group as last time. We gave you two in a row.
Yeah, you're killing me. You're killing me there.
Well, we didn't think you'd get this one. I had not heard of this one before either, but the previous one, you kind of surprised us.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to let you down on that.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes. Well, it happens. So I listed a few of the folks that you've got out there in your state capital. I live about an hour south of Austin. Austin is the blue dot in the red state. But yeah. Our governor is Greg Abbott. Met him. Our lieutenant governor is Dan Patrick. I've met him.
And now, in what context did you meet these gentlemen?
Conferences. They do, you know, out here, they love to do these meetings and conferences and conventions for pastors. And so I'm on the list. I actually went to Rick Perry's inaugural ball one year because I'm on the list. And so I go to these things, and they're there to encourage pastors. Imagine governors and people like this that want to encourage pastors. Speaker of the House, Joe Strauss, I like this guy. He has sent me letters. I mean, not just form letters. We've corresponded. Attorney General Ken Paxton, I just heard him speak a few weeks ago at a pro-life meeting. I'm part of it. Well, I'm friends with a group called the Justice Foundation. You know folks from the Justice Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And the keynote speaker this year was Ken Paxton, the Attorney General. What an awesome guy. Very outspoken about his faith. Very pro-life. These are the people running our state.
Now, doesn't David Barton hail from Texas also, or do I have that wrong?
I don't know, but I've heard him a number of times. I went to a tour of the nation's capital, and it was really fascinating to get his perspective on the things that they just don't tell you about the founding fathers and the rest.
Oh, yeah, all you learn about the founding fathers these days is that they owned slaves.
Yeah,
many of them did not, and the few that did were very conflicted about it and took steps to abolish them, too.
Yeah. Well, as you know, there is a slant in what's reported these days. But those people that I just mentioned are all Republicans, all conservative Republicans, and most of them are pretty strong on being pro-life. They are pro-life. They are very much pro-Second Amendment. They are very much against the unisex bathrooms, and very much for same-sex marriage.
Against same-sex marriage, I think you meant to say.
Against same-sex marriage, right. They're for border control. I have a letter on my desk that Joe Strauss sent me when Governor Abbott was first in office. One of the first things he did was pass the bill. That, they call it the Pastor Protection Bill. I've mentioned this on your show before. I cannot be charged with a crime or sued or in any way harassed if I refuse to perform a marriage because of my religious conviction.
Yeah, and we need a bill like that throughout the country now.
Yeah, but in Texas, they're leading the way on these types of things, and it's genuine, and they represent the people. For the most part, people in Texas, we have people on both sides of the thing, as all states do, but most of the people in Texas feel very strongly about these things. And so it produces, for me, a social and political climate that I'm much more at ease in because I'm not going to get harassed for my beliefs. And I can say things about the things that I feel strongly about and not be called a lunatic or a criminal or whatever. And so it's just a stark contrast. And those are things that are just, to me, standout differences. And, oh, by the way, I gave you guys Nancy Pelosi. Well, we get Ted Cruz. He was from this state, too, whether you like him or not.
Well, you know, and he gets a lot of flack. I've always liked him. He does kind of come across as a slick oil salesman, but I think that's his demeanor. I don't think that would be a genuine attribute of him at all.
I don't think that's him. I'm not particularly a big fan, but he is a conservative, and he is from this state.
By the way, have you heard his idea of how to pay for the wall?
They were going to
confiscate the money that they got from Chapo and have him pay for it.
I heard that one. Yeah. You know,
what a great idea. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that there are businesses and companies. I think there are people that would love to, you know, go and do that, build that wall. There's an awful lot of people that are really fed up with the impact that illegal immigration has in our state.
Well, we're going to have some judge rule the building of the wall is unconstitutional. I mean,
well, sure.
How they find in our Constitution that it's unconstitutional to build a border, I'm sure I don't know, but they'll find it, Jim. Or they'll find that some muskrat or something is put out of his home because of the wall or something.
Well, and we talked last month, I believe, there is some hope that now at least there's a chance in the Supreme Court that there could be some sense of reason, because things always wind up going there. You know, you fight it, eventually it winds up with the Supreme Court. And at least we have a shot in the Supreme Court of some reason.
We do, and I hope we see a few more retirees soon and get that tipped completely.
But it, as opposed to, for instance, the California Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah, that's the other little hallmark of California meant to mention, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. What a travesty.
Well, they're just down the street from Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, aren't they? I don't know.
But I am just so tired of these self-righteous, sanctimonious people that go into our Constitution like they're mining for gold and find these little nuggets that just aren't there. The judicial activism has got to stop. Okay, Jim, well, I think you made a hard sell. Now, if you find yourself in Texas and you don't have a place to stay, I'm sure my good friend Jim Barry will put you up in his living room.
Come on down.
Y'all come now, you hear?
All right.
Okay, my friend, we'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.